Hello, and welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and while I am, as always, incredibly delighted to guide us in meditation practice, I will also say that today I'm angry. I am just angry. So I thought, well, let me just see what happens if I make a meditation video while I'm angry. And because people get angry. I'm angry for very reasonable reasons. I had a fight with my husband. These things happen. It was not like a, oh shoot, we might get divorced fight, but it was like a, I don't like you fight. It happened about an hour ago and I'm still pissed off. And maybe you never met a meditation teacher who was pissed off, but here, let me introduce you to her. So one of the things that I really appreciate about Buddhism, not that anybody has to become Buddhist at all, one of the things that I appreciate most about this profound tradition that is more than 2,500 years old is that it doesn't tell you you shouldn't get angry or you shouldn't be sad or you shouldn't be disappointed or frustrated or any of the other, you know, so-called negative emotions. And that, when I read that, when I found that in this particular style of Tibetan Buddhism that I practice in, the Shambhala lineage, that strong emotions were included, I thought that one's for me because I do get pissed off and I do get really depressed and sad and I don't want to think that that makes me a bad person. So I've received emails over the years from many of you who have struggled with anger and it's not fun. It feels terrible. It's horrible. And you think, well, that makes me not a spiritual person or it makes me a bad person. And I'll tell you what makes you a bad person. What makes you a bad person is not getting angry. That does not make you a bad person. It doesn't even really matter why you're angry. What makes you a bad person is getting angry and picking up a hammer and hitting someone else because you're angry. That's a metaphor, obviously, for acting in an unkind, aggressive way because you have not figured out how to meet your own anger. That's a problem that we just have to like look at one day's headlines to see what an enormous problem that is. So anger, not a problem. Acting out your anger, huge problem. One thing that makes me particularly angry, and so now that I'm angry, I'm like, okay, well, let's see, what else can I be angry about? And I'll tell you what that could be useful to us, because I could list many things. I'm really angry at spiritual teachers who tell you that you can create a situation for yourself where you never have to get angry or be upset. And that if you are angry or upset, that is some kind of, you know, you can sort of just bliss that away by, you know, oming yourself into some other stratosphere. That is bullshit. I will just say that to you straight out. I often come across books. I write self-help books, so I think it's a really amazing genre, full of charlatans and geniuses. Hopefully I myself am somewhere in the middle. A long time ago, I was in a car with a very famous spiritual teacher. If I said his name, you would know exactly, everybody would know who he is. We happened to be doing some project together. It was like a different life that I had. Anyway, we were in a car in New York City and we were about to go somewhere and we were just waiting for a third person to get in the car and a taxi cab sort of sideswiped us. No one was hurt, but there was a definite fender bender and he was in a hurry. And he looked at the taxi cab driver who was like, bleh. He looked at the limo driver and he looked at me and he looked back at the limo driver and he said, nothing happened, let's go. And to me, I was like, something really did just happen. And some people need to exchange insurance, you know, information. And for you to just say, I don't like that, nothing happened, I'm in a hurry, let's go, is a poor response to the fender benders, literal and metaphoric, that we run into every single day of our lives. So I had one. I got in a fight with my husband. I'm sure we'll make up. But anyway, so now what am I supposed to do? Go, oh, well, that makes me unspiritual, or, you know, I need to somehow forget that I have, you know, forgive him, forgive myself. No. What I do is feel angry. And I believe that that has application that is far more profound and interesting than just trying to be some sort of a bliss ninny. So going back to the authors that piss me off, and if you want to skip all this and just go to the meditation is going to be interesting, I have a feeling. I look at the book titles and I see things like, there is a spiritual solution to every problem. There isn't. There isn't. Some problems have no solution. And but when I read a title like that, there's a spiritual solution for every problem, what I infer is there's a way to not feel bad when bad things happen. And that's A, not true. And B, there is value in feeling bad. There is value in being a human being. Human beings feel all sorts of things. I myself, maybe this is different than you or others, am not trying to become a superhuman. I'm not trying to transcend the human condition. I'm here on planet Earth. I am a human being. I am trying to be human, find out what it means to be human. That is why we meditate. We don't meditate to become gods. We meditate to feel our hearts. So when you come across things that say 10 secrets for success and inner peace, or this one I just read, I'm going to hide it so you don't see what it is. This really made me mad. Remove the last obstacle to ultimate success. A simple yet comprehensive program for overcoming our one barrier to happiness and fulfillment, providing a clear path for achieving our true potential and attaining not only financial success, but also success in love and life. You know what? I want all those things. I want financial success. I want success in love and life. I want you to have those things too. I'm sure you also want them. But there is no one step that is going to make those things happen. We are on a ride that is way more mysterious than it is knowable. And anyone who tells you, I know how to do this ride, this is what you should do, you should slowly back away. Here's the tell. I want you to look for this in everything that you consider consuming relating to your inner life. The things that are new agey and bullshitty are things that are about you only. This will make you happy. This will remove obstacles to your dreams. And believe me, I want you to be happy. I want to be happy. I want all those obstacles gone for all of us, too. That is not sufficient. When an author or a school of thought says, here's how you can remove obstacles to happiness, here's how you can find success, so that you can be of benefit to others, now we have something really worthy. That is the difference between New Agey nonsense and spiritual wisdom that can bring actual lasting happiness and peace, not just to me, not just to you, but to our world. So I'll just reiterate, and we'll go to our practice. The tell, New Age, it's about you only. And often they tack on, oh yeah, and then you can be a nice person and help others. No, that's not a tack on. Wisdom, here's how to be happy so that you can benefit this world. And I will just add that your way of benefiting the world could be by being a fantastic parent or a great friend or just someone who loves their cats. Your way of being a person who helps this world could be becoming president of the United States and creating world peace, or by going out on the streets and being an activist for the environment, or just being a fantastic artist, or just being a person who is trying his or her best to work with negative emotions so as not to cause pain to others. Now we have something, my friends. something really real and valuable. So I guess the last thing I'll say about New Agey stuff and my own anger about it is that, you know, I was reading something this morning that, you know, was a very New Agey context, and I wrote it down, that's why I'm looking down here. The person said, when you get, I can't read my writing, when you get a sense, that might not be the word, I can't read my writing, of your own vibration, the first thing that happens is your sense of self-worth comes into place. So first of all, I don't know what that means, your own vibration, but let's just say it means something like, when you know who you are, the first thing that happens is your self-worth comes into place. I believe from the bottom of my heart that that is true. However, there are often things that are said in New Agey contexts, for lack of a better phrase, that are the truth given to you in a way that makes them a lie. And so I would like you to contemplate that as your self-appointed spiritual teacher in this particular moment. That is true. I believe and know from my studies of the Dharma over 2 decades and my practice of these things that when you know, the Buddha said, when you know who you are, suffering will end. But there are various lenses through which to look at that sentence. And the only way to know the right lens for you is not the person who said this, not the Buddha, not me, but you. You. Who are you? I can't tell you. Crazy New Age authors can't tell you. Buddha can't tell you. Your meditation practice can tell you. At the same time, we're just going to be sitting here, focusing on our breath, and allowing ourselves to be who we are. And this is the path to self-discovery. So, okay, that's my rant. And we're going to practice now. And I just want to assure you that you can practice when you're angry, and I'm going to demonstrate that. So to begin one's practice when one is angry, one does not have to let go of anger. So the first thing that I'm doing, because I'm the one here, is feeling that as I take my seat, I'm angry. Not why am I angry? That's the road to trouble. But what does it feel like to be angry? Okay, my chest is tight. I feel my shoulders want to go like this. I feel heat, like shooting up my back. I'm pissed. At the same time, I notice my breath is a little shallow. It's hard to be angry and have slow, even breath. So, okay, I'm not going to try to slow my breath down. I'm going to notice that. When I notice that, what I feel underneath that tightness and heat is a kind of shakiness. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear the construction noise, but there's nothing I can do about it. But it is kind of what I feel like on the inside, just vibrating and not very pleasant. Okay, I got that. My hands are palms down. My back is straight. Now I want to soften my front body, my belly and my chest. This does not mean feel soft. It means literally let the muscles relax. It has nothing to do with my heart or my emotions. And let my shoulders relax. Does that affect my anger? A little bit. Lessens it a little bit. Focus on your breath. Let your attention ride the breath. Like stay with it. Like suddenly you found yourself on a little rowboat out on the ocean that was rocking gently. The eyes are open. because this is a practice of wakefulness. The gaze is cast slightly down, and anger is actually extremely useful in a quest for wakefulness, because anger is wakeful. You can't be angry and fall asleep. There's a kind of sharp edge. Let your attention stay with the breath. And if your mind distracts you, just let go and come back. Your mind will continue to think things. That's fabulous. Let it do that, but let it be background noise. Background noise. What's in the foreground is breath. And no matter what anger or irritation is also present, the breath is still happening. And you can stay with it without interfering or worrying about these other things. So we'll practice together. Thank you very much for your practice. And let's close, please, by having a sense of this global community in which we sit right now, each in our own place, and wish each other well in this mysterious, intense, impassioned, fascinating quest to be truly human. I wish you everything good in that amazing and profound journey. And know that as you wish the others well, good wishes come to you too.